Good morning. Good to have you tuned in again with us this morning and Easter Day, the day in which we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And some people said, well, you know, it's a shame that we can't come together. And I think this is the first time that I've ever celebrated the resurrection of Christ on Easter Day that we didn't have a crowd of people in the church. But it's good to have you out there listening online. But the truth of the matter is we ought to celebrate the resurrection of Christ each and every time that we are called upon together at a funeral of someone who has been saved. I mean, think of how much that resurrection means to us. And we celebrate the fact that our loved ones that are saved are not gone forever, but we'll see them again if we have been saved as well. And so we get to celebrate the resurrection of Christ in each and every time that we have a loved one that goes on, that is saved. Paul tells us not to be ignorant concerning those which sleep in the Lord. Also, we ought to celebrate the resurrection of Christ every Sunday. The reason we meet on Sunday is because he resurrected on the first day of the week. Every Lord's Day is a celebration of the resurrection of Christ. And to be honest with you, every day we ought to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. We can live and not worry about what life throws at us. We don't have to even worry about the virus and all those type of things in that sense, and what may happen tomorrow, because we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord if we're saved. But it is good to have you tune in with us. Let me make a couple announcements real quickly to the church. Especially the church, usually around this time of year, is one of the times that we set aside to partake of the Lord's Supper. And so we're looking forward to the time when we assemble ourselves back together, the Lord's will, and we'll be able to do that together, and we're looking forward to it. I'll tell you, to be able to assemble again to the church is going to be such a precious thing. We're going to appreciate much more the ability to come together after being separated all this time. We do want you to continue praying for all those that we've been mentioning on prayer requests, and we've got several that's been in our hospital, and we want you to continue lifting them up, continue lifting up the leaders that are making decisions in this country, and pray for them as well, and we want you to do that. And we also want to remind the church of this. Don't forget, we're dependent upon you to continue to be faithful during the inability of the church to come together. We have set aside a post office box that Brother Greg picks the tithes and offerings up from. It's Jordan Baptist Church, post office box 41, Bronston, Kentucky, 42518. And so remember that, if you would, and we appreciate all of you who've been faithful. As I mentioned last week, I heard, and I thought it was sad, that many of the smaller churches, the people that, since they're not assembling, have not been giving, and they're about to have to close their doors. And that's a shame if we would get to that level. So we need to be faithful. Those of us who are members of the church, we need to be faithful in doing that. Open your Bibles, if you would, this morning. We're going to go to several places this morning. We're going to preach upon the resurrection of Christ. We're going to preach upon this subject, the order of the resurrection. And so when we speak of the resurrection, you need to understand we're speaking of a bodily resurrection. All these graves and all these bodies that's gone down to the grave, gone down to the earth, saved and lost, are going to be resurrected one of these days. We're going to see from Scripture here in just a moment. We've talked about in the last couple of weeks how important the cross was in heaven, on earth, and even under the earth. There were people waiting for Jesus to come and die. But not only were they waiting according to Scripture for him to come and die, they were also waiting for him to come and resurrect. And so the resurrection of Christ is of utmost importance. As a matter of fact, Paul reminds us, if he didn't resurrect, our preaching is in vain, and we are among all men most foolish. But we believe, and we have testimony and witnesses of people that saw him and bore witness of the fact that he resurrected. Turning your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 5 first. And I want to share with you a couple verses that, or a few verses that Jesus spoke in John chapter 5 and verse number 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Isn't that a good thing to know? And he says, verily, verily, I say unto you in verse 25, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is a Son of Man. Marvel not, now notice these next two verses, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now look back there in those two verses and take note with me. Number one, there will be a resurrection. Number two, it will be a body resurrection, not a spiritual resurrection. Number three, note in those two verses, that all men will be resurrected. Also note that there's a separation of resurrections. I heard someone speaking the other day on all these people dying with virus, and he said, according to our faith, we'll all get to see them again in heaven. Well, that's not true. Only those who are saved. There's a separation of resurrections between those who are saved, those who are lost. And Jesus said himself that some would be resurrected unto life and some would be resurrected unto damnation. Now, if you turn, and so keep in mind that Jesus himself verified that there would be a separation of resurrections. Then in Revelation chapter 20, in verse 4, John writes, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads and in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now this is talking about tribulation saints here, but I want you to note the next two verses. He says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Notice that he calls it the first resurrection, and he separates it from the second resurrection. In verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God in the Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So, I want you to note a couple things. Only those that are saved will have part of the first resurrection. Also, there is a separation from the first resurrection and second resurrection of 1,000 years. And we'll come back to that here in a few moments. But now note, if you would, again, that God makes it clear through his word, there are two resurrections. And not only are they two separate ones, but this destroys the idea in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, that there's going to be a general resurrection, because the Bible tells us that it's separated by 1,000 years. Now turn with me, if you would, into the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a tremendous chapter. It is what we call the resurrection chapter that Paul wrote, and he covers so many important things. Let me just give you a 5-point outline on this chapter, and it will help you to understand. The first 11 verses, Paul is verifying the proof of Jesus' resurrection. He said he saw him and other people saw him after he resurrected. And he lists many people that had saw him. And the gospel that we preach is a death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And we preach it because of these witnesses and what they've left in the word of God. Then in the next verses 12 through 19, We have the importance of the resurrection. As I mentioned earlier, without the resurrection, our preaching is in vain. We're foolish. It means nothing. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we have no message. But we believe that he did. Then we have the order in the verses 20 through 24. We have the order of his resurrection. Now that's what we're going to preach on this morning. The order of his resurrection. Then verses 35 on down through, or verse 20 to 34, we have the order. And then 35 to 50, we have the nature of the resurrection. People says, what body will be resurrected with? Well, Paul begins to cover some of the ideas of what we will have when we are resurrected, talking those who are saved. Because he is talking to the church of Corinth and writing them. Then verse 51 through 58, we have the time of the resurrection. And so everything stands or falls upon Christ's resurrection. Even what the gospel we preach, Paul wrote in the book of Romans, that you must believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead to be saved. Resurrection is so important. Now notice, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now notice that word first fruits is plural. It's not singular. He wasn't the first fruit. He was the first fruits. And we'll come back to cover that. In verse number 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And that's talking about the first Adam and the second Adam. Verse 22, for as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now notice verse 23 and 24. We're going to spend a little bit of time on this. But every man, again, this is talking about those that has part in the first resurrection, those who are saved. Every man in his own order. The word order there is a military term meaning troop, or his own stage, or his own timing. And so the Bible says every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Now notice again, it refers to Christ, plural, as the first fruits. So the first troop, first order, the first stage that's going to come along is Christ and his first fruits. Then the Bible says afterward, they are that are Christ at his coming. Now this will be the second group in that first resurrection that will come. Then the Bible says in verse 24, then cometh the end. Now when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God and even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Then we have the end that was to come. Now, this is confusing sometimes. You say, well, I thought there was two resurrections. There are. There's a resurrection of the just, and there's a resurrection of the lost. Now, but the resurrection of the saved, the first resurrection, Paul reveals a mystery that we don't understand that was given to us way back in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23, we have the feast of Israel. Those feasts were types and shadows of things that was come. The first feast was a feast of the Passover. The feast of the Passover represented the death of Jesus Christ. And so therefore we have, when we look at the Passover and we study the feast of the Passover, it's a type of Jesus, the shed Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. Then the second feast that was the next day was a feast of unleavened bread. It was a type and shadow of the burial of Christ. And of course, here he was. He was without sin. He lived without sin, and he was made sin for us. Then the third feast that the Bible talks about in Leviticus chapter 23 is a feast of first fruits. Now, that's the one we're going to zero in on this morning to understand the first resurrection and the different order of the first resurrection. So in the feast of the first fruits, what happened was this. When they would plant a crop, they would bring the first fruits that would come ripe of that crop into the temple, and the priest would take those handful of fruits, and he would take and wave them before the Lord, and he would thank God for the first fruits. And it would also recognize and be a recognition that the Lord would be responsible to bring the whole harvest in. And it would be his responsibility, and they were praising him for his faithfulness in doing it. And you know, God is so faithful in keeping his harvest and everyone who is saved, that Jesus said that there would not be one person ever taken out of his Father's hand, that whosoever believeth on him shall have eternal life. Now, in looking back at the Feast of the First Fruits, what they would do is they would bring the first fruits in, and they would present them before God and be thankful for his blessings to them, and be thankful that he made a way that they could have the harvest. And that would be the first fruits. Then, of course, they would wait for the full harvest to come. And when the full harvest would come, then it was called the harvest proper. They would gather in the big harvest, and they would celebrate, and they would thank God for the harvest, because it would be a big gathering. Then they would gather in after the harvest. They would go back into the fields, and they would glean the fields. But now, always the crop that was being gleaned had been trodden underfoot. They had suffered several things, because they had went through and harvest. And what was left was kind of rough getting to, and a lot of times it would fall to the ground and be stepped upon during the harvest and those type of things. So it was called the gleaning. Now we find the gleaning referred to in the book of Ruth. Also, I know myself, I used to help glean a cornfield, and when you go through and you pick all the harvest and you come back through and glean it, you'd be surprised how many that you would find in that field that had been fell off and had been trodden underfoot. Now, when we think of the Feast of the First Fruits, then Paul is playing up on that same thought here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And he's talking about Jesus being the first fruits. Now, what's he talking about? Well, let's remember a couple things that Jesus did before his resurrection. They wanted him to give them a sign. He told them that the only sign that evil and adulterous generation would have would be the sign of Jonah. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 40, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so Jesus told them that he was going to spend 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Also, if you remember, Jesus also had told the thief on the cross, when he was dying upon the cross that day, the thief turned, said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom." And he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Well, we know he went to the heart of the earth. In Ephesians chapter number 4, listen what Paul wrote in verse number 8 in reference to Jesus' resurrection. He says in verse number 8, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended," that's talking about Jesus ascending in heaven, "what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." So Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, that before Jesus ascended up into heaven after his resurrection, he had to first go down into the heart of the earth. And he would go down there, and as we know, he would spend 3 days and three nights. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19, he went down there and he preached to spirits in prison as well. But also Paul reveals something else he was going to do. When he come up out of there, he was going to lead those that had been captive. He was going to lead them out and bring them out of that. What's it talking about? Well, he revealed the truth in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. And he told about a rich man and Lazarus, two real people that died. And he talked about when they died, that the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes.
Now the hell is talking about there, in the Greek word was Hades. In the Hebrew word, it was Sheol. It was a waiting place of the soul. The body was buried, but the soul would go down into hell. And he would lift his eyes up in hell. He'd be in torments. He'd remember and have several things going on. Because Jesus revealed that to us and let us know some things that happened down there. The Bible refers to the place as Abraham's bosom, Hades at that time, and had those in hell. But the Bible says there was a great gulf, and a beggar died, Lazarus, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, the fact was there was a great gulf, and they both went down to lower parts of the earth. And the Bible also refers to that as paradise at that time. And so when Jesus told the thief that he would be with him that day in paradise, he was talking about Abraham's bosom. Now, what was the Old Testament saints that was saved that was in Abraham's bosom? Now, the ones in hell was those that was not saved. And there was a great gulf between the two of those. And the ones Jesus told us, and he also told us that the one in Abraham's bosom there, that Abraham was talking to this rich man. And the rich man wanted him to send back somebody from the dead to warn his brothers. Now, Abraham told him that he had Moses and the prophets. The amazing thing, Moses was not born to some 400 plus years after Abraham had died. How did Abraham know Moses? Because they were all down in Abraham's bosom, and they were down there waiting for Jesus, the first fruits, to come along and be resurrected. He had to be the firstborn, according to Colossians. He had to be the firstborn to be raised from the dead. And so Jesus, when he died upon the cross and went down into the heart of the earth, the Bible tells us something amazing that happened when he resurrected. Look, if you would, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. In Matthew chapter 27, I've had several people confused about what this was talking about, but the Bible makes it clear. In Matthew chapter 27, in verse number 50, taking us back when Jesus hung upon the cross there, Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now that all happened while Jesus was upon the cross. Then in verse 52, the Bible goes to something else that happened after that. It says, and the graves were open, and many dead bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came up out of the graves when? After his resurrection. And went to the holy city and appeared to many. Now, here we have the first stage of the first resurrection. It was God, it was Jesus' order, Christ and his first fruits. He went down into the Abraham's bosom. He led captivity captive. He took them before God, just as a priest used to do in the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 23. And he'd wave them before God and thank him for the harvest and promise that there'd be a greater harvest to come. Jesus did the same thing. In that order, he took the Old Testament saints up there and presented them before God. Now, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, to go into paradise is to go into third heaven and be with God. And the Bible says, be absent from body, be present with the Lord. And he's at the right hand of the Father. We no longer talk about paradise being down Abraham's bosom. It's gone. Isaiah in chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, told us that there would be a time that hell would enlarge herself. Now, those who die lost, their soul will go to hell. But those who are saved, they go up to heaven and be with the Lord, their soul does. But now, their graves and their body was resurrected, the Old Testament saints. This was a first stage or first order of those who are blessed in the first resurrection. Now, the second one that Jesus talked about was those in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterwards they are Christ at his coming. Now, that is the time that we are looking for now. Those who are saved, we are awaiting Christ coming for his saints. It will be in the air. It will not be when he comes back and Israel sees him and he puts his feet upon the Mount Olive. It will be in the air. Paul said he revealed a mystery to us. in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Many are you familiar with that verse? We hear it read a lot of times in funerals and so forth. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." In other words, those of us who are saved, our loved ones, their souls with the Lord. Not many years ago, I lost my father. My dad, I believe in my heart, he was saved. He's up there with the Lord, his soul is. Now, I know where his body is. I watched him bury his body in the grave. But his soul is up there with the Lord. And so he's waiting for Jesus to come back. Notice what he says in verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." In other words, if I'm alive when Jesus comes back in the air, my dad's going to be with him. If he was saved, he will be right there with Jesus when he comes. And we will meet. Now notice what else he tells us in verse 15. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." In other words, when he comes back, that grave of my dad's that's buried over in London, in Sinking Creek Baptist Church, it's going to bust open. His body's going to come up out of it. He's going to be reunited with his soul, a new body. And notice what else he says. "Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So therefore, what we have to understand is that we have a blessed hope, and that is the hope of those who are saved. We are waiting for the second troop, the second order of Jesus. And this will be those that Jesus is coming. We're looking, we're waiting, we call it the rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but it's the catching away that Paul talks about. Now notice if you would in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where I've got you, in verse number 50, he says, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. In other words, Paul said, I'm going to tell you something wasn't revealed in the Old Testament. I'm revealing it to you new right here. And he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Now he's talking to saved people. Who is this? This is a second group, the second stage of the first fruits that will be going. Christ at his coming. Notice in verse 52. "In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So what we have a promise of, we have a promise from Jesus, and Paul reemphasizes that there's going to be a twinkle, just that quick. He's bringing his dead back when the Father says, "Go get him, son." And those who are of the church age, the saints of God that are saved, that are alive, we will not hinder those from coming, that their souls are waiting with Jesus. They'll come, their graves will burst, wherever their bodies are, they'll come forward, new body, reunited with a soul. And those of us who are alive and remain, if I'm alive when that happens, I will be changed and caught up together with them in the air. This is a second group. Now, some people says, "Well, preacher, what if I don't get saved and Jesus comes?" And I had one man tell me, "When I see everybody's gone, then I'm going to go ahead and get saved." But according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, Paul was emphatic that all who had rejected to believe the truth of the word of God when they heard it preached, that they will be damned after the church is gone, after the saints are gone. My friend, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't think that you'll be, because you will be left behind. You will not be a part of the first resurrection. This is your time to get in this order. All those who will be saved before Jesus comes will be taken up when he comes. They'll either be brought with him or changed. Anyone left behind at that time that's lost will be damned, according to Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Dangerous to try to think that God's going to change his word, because it's forever settled in heaven, to suit you. The third group that I mentioned was the gleaning. After the catching away, what we call the rapture, the Bible talks that there will be a tribulation period. And I know a lot of people have all kinds of ideas, but you got to study the word of God to rightly divide it. And the Bible teaches that there will be a preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. And it will be done by 144,000 Jews, 12 tribes of Israel. God makes that clear. Now, he also makes it clear that there will be people that will be saved from all nations, kindreds, and tongues that had not heard the word of God preached. And so when they go about preaching, there are going to be a lot of people saved. You say, well, that's great. Well, the only thing about it with the tribulation time is they're going to suffer a lot of persecution. Going to be a lot of people killed, martyred, because they all simply because they were saved and they had been saved. Notice what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 6, verse number 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now this John got to see. This is after the saints, after Christ has come. And he gets to see when the fifth seal is open that there's souls underneath the altar. They had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they held. Look in verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Now, let me mention this. There is no such thing as soul sleep. The body sleeps, not the soul. Notice these people, they were dead, their soul was in heaven, but their soul was not sleeping, their body was. But the Bible, and they asked the Lord how long it's going to be. Notice verse number 11. And white robes were given to every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they should be fulfilled. In other words, be a lot of people killed during that time. This is a gleaning. This is those that's going to suffer. Boy, I tell you what, there's going to be a price to pay during that time. And if you go back over to Revelation chapter 20, again, that's where we find the end the Bible talks about. The end is these gleaning saints. They will make up the gleaning, those that will be saved during tribulation time. In chapter 20, remember verse number 5 I read to you. But the rest of the dead live not again, 1,000 years were finished. This is first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. Now, notice if you would in verse 4 that it reminds us that these were the people. The Bible says, "I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. Judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither the image, or neither had received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Who are these? These are tribulation saints. All that happens in the tribulation, not in the church age that we're in right now. We'll be gone. I don't worry about the mark of the beast. I don't worry about the Antichrist. That's for another order to take care that God deal with. I don't got to deal with that. I've just got to be looking for Jesus to come. Amen. So those three groups, the Old Testament saints, the church age saints, and the tribulation saints, makes up the feast of the first fruits. The first fruits, harvest proper, the gleaning. Blessed are they that has part in the first resurrection. Everyone will be blessed to share that. And now the Bible says that it'll be 1,000 years before the next resurrection. We'll look in Revelation chapter 20, because again, he tells us when this last resurrection is. Follow with me, if you would, in verse number 11. And the Bible talks in verse 7 through 10 that during this 1,000 years, after it's expired, Satan will be loosened for a little season. He'll go out and deceive a lot of nations, and then he'll come, he'll be cast into hell. But notice what verse number 11 says. John says, "And I saw a great white throne, him who sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great," that's all the lost, all the way from Cain, all the way down the line. You know, Cain's been waiting in hell in the heart of the earth all this time, and waiting to be delivered up to stand judgment. And everyone who's died lost since that time is waiting in hell until they are brought. Whether great, whether small, it doesn't matter who they were, rich, poor, male, female, it doesn't matter. The Bible says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to the works." Now, if you'd like to know more about the book of life, somewhere in a Wednesday night, I'm going to deal with the book of life in our study. You're welcome to join us about 7 o'clock every Wednesday night. And somewhere along the way, I'm going to bring that study out. But look, notice verse 13. "And the sea gave up the dead which was in them." What's that? That's the bodies of people that died at sea or was cast in the sea. "And the dearth and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them." Now, what's death? Death is where people died and went to the grave. And hell was where their souls were. All the souls of lost people were waiting. "They were delivered up, the dead that was in them, and they were judged, every man according to the works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. Now remember, the reason why we're so blessed in the first resurrection, the second death has no part of us. It has nothing to us. Why? Because Christ and our faith in Christ has saved us, and through his resurrection, we have been given a resurrection of eternal life. But here, they are going to be given eternal damnation, eternal death. The second death. The second death means eternal separation from God. They will eternally be separated from God. And where will they be? Notice verse 15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." My friend, we don't like to talk about the last resurrection, the resurrection of the damned. Even back in Daniel's time, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, he speaks some will be resurrected to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt. What a terrible time it would be to be one of these. But if you die without Christ, that's exactly will be your resurrection. You have no reason to celebrate the resurrection of Christ today. You have no reason to have any hope. The only ones has hope in resurrection is those that will take part of the first resurrection. Let me leave you with this verse. Two verses, as a matter of fact. In John chapter 11, Jesus said in verse 25, "I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Would you like to have the guarantee that you would never have to worry about hell? Would you like to have the guarantee that it doesn't matter when you die, what happens to you, when God decides to let your life be taken, that you know to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord? Only one way you can have that hope, friend. That's through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You must believe it in your heart that God sent his only begotten Son to die in your stead. And not only did he die and was buried, but thank God he resurrected that third day. And you know why we gather together on the first day of the week? We rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate that as undeserving as we are, because of God's grace and our faith, we now have eternal life. We'll never see the second death. We'll never die spiritually again. We have been born again. Holy Spirit of God lives within us, sealed us until the day of redemption. And on that glorious day when Jesus comes, if I die before he comes, I'll be coming back with him. But if I'm alive, I will be changed in the twinkle of an eye. What a blessed, glorious hope.
those of us who are saved has. The Old Testament saints are already up there. First fruits are there. Jesus done presented them to the Father. And now he's not going to lose a one of us that has been added to that number. And when the saints go marching in, thank God because of his shed blood, I'll be going in there with them. And then later on when we're gone, tribulation happens, there'll be another group coming up. And then, oh, how sad, 1,000 years, and all the lost people, they thought they were in anguish then. The rich man, the Bible says, was in torments. But then they'll be brought up before judgment and cast into the lake of fire. This is a second death. Thank Jesus for his resurrection. What hope we have. What a glorious time we celebrate this very day. And I hope you can say, he is my resurrection life. I believed in him, therefore I'm going to go be with him. That's our hope and prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for mysteries, Lord, that we would never understand, that different ones have been sent to explain to us. Lord, we can see the truths as we study. You tell us to study the word of God to rightly divide the word of truth. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to do that. And Lord, there may be someone listening under the sound of our voice this morning. And if you were to come back this very moment, they would be left behind. They're not ready. Oh God, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would draw and convict them. And they would turn their heart and their will unto you and cry out to the Lord to save their soul this morning. And Lord, that you would save them this morning. You tell us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Our only hope. And Heavenly Father, thank you for our hope in Jesus Christ, the first fruits of our resurrection. We thank you so much for that. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.